Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hey, everybody. It's Teresa.
Hi, guys. It's America.
And today we're going to talk about getting motivated.
The lack of motivation in general.
Or if you're Googling, I can't get motivated.
I have no energy to do anything.
Can get motivated, mental health.
Yeah, I think it's important to think about why you can't get motivated. For me, it's related to my inability to voice whatever I'm feeling. So I just have any motivation to do anything. But I don't know.
What does that mean?
When you start thinking about what people kind of need motivation to do, right? I go from like basic tasks, taking care of yourself, like taking a shower, making meals, things like that. And then to this other place of, oh, I have to get up and go to work.
Okay.
Right? Sometimes I struggle with this idea of like, man, do I really have to like go and take a shower? I don't want to take a shower. And that struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing, God, man, why can't I just get up and go? Like, it's not a hard thing to do, but...
Yeah, that inner voice is a big part of motivation.
Yeah.
Because you just talk to yourself
a
lot.
Yeah.
And we spend so much energy talking to ourselves about how we're not motivated in our brains. And not actually doing the thing. There is a large part of that that's true, right? Like, we spend so much time in our minds thinking about how we're not doing the thing that we should be doing, thinking about the things we want to be doing, but we're not. The motivation part is, how do you get yourself to move from thinking about all these things to actually doing the thing?
Yeah. Because I think that's the hard part where people struggle in, one, first identifying that that's what's happening, right? Like, I can say, like, I just don't have the energy to do that. But why don't you have the energy? Is it that you really don't have the energy? Like, maybe you didn't sleep well or something? Or is it you just don't have, like, you know, that engine that could thing inside you that says, okay, get up and go.
Yeah. You know?
I think that's what people lack.
Or sometimes I do, because we're slowing down the process of what happens, of why I can't do the thing I want to do. And I wonder how often we say that, oh, I just don't have the motivation to do it, and it's tied to energy or whatever. But a lot of it is also self-doubt. So there's an element of energy. Yes. Do I physically have the energy to get up and exercise? Like, sometimes, no, I don't have the capacity. I don't have the ability right now. Whatever my body is doing, it is making me want to stay lethargic and stay in bed or stay overwhelmed because my energy is somewhere else. My energy is spent thinking and not doing. But I don't think that when we talk about energy, that a lot of people talk about the mind screwiness that happens where you talk yourself out of stuff. Sometimes when I'm not doing the thing I want to do, it's because if I start to think about exercising, I'll say that I'm not motivated, but mostly it's because before I've even started to exercise, I've talked myself out of it.
Yeah.
It feels too big.
Yeah.
You know, I have already figured out 500 reasons why I shouldn't exercise, why I shouldn't take care of myself, why I'm a horrible person, whatever, all of those things. Does that happen to you?
Yes. So I'm thinking while you're talking, because what happens in my mind is like, you're in bed and you're like, okay, I should get up and go exercise. The exercise is an easy one, right? Because you know that it's good for you to go and exercise. But the mind tricks that we play on ourselves is, oh, well, yeah, you can go exercise, but is it really going to make a difference?
Yeah.
It's not going to make a difference.
It's too hard.
Yeah, it's too hard. You know, oh, then you're going to be like, you have to spend more time, like you have to take a shower, and then you knock yourself back to the beginning by all those negative
thoughts. And we'll spend 5 months in this mind, a mind trap.
Yeah.
Not doing the thing we want to do. A lot of it is fear. You know, it's not just energy. There are some things that are fear, like relationships are fear. Why am I not motivated to get a job? Why am I not motivated to go date? Yes, there's a lot of fear there, right? Fear of rejection.
Yeah.
I am not going to go put myself out there to get rejected. I am too emotionally vulnerable. That's a scary thing. So my lack of motivation to put myself out there, the root of that lack of motivation is fear. Not getting exercise. Okay, I'm not motivated to get exercise.
Maybe it's also tied to fear, but fear of failure. Like I won't be able to see the impact of what I'm doing.
Is that for you, the motivation? Mine is there with me, with motivation to not exercise. There are times where it is just energy.
For me, it's time.
Time?
Yeah, it's time. Like I have limited time to do the things that I want. Well, those are all reasons.
Those are excuses.
Those are all excuses for me not doing exercise. Because if I really needed to and wanted to focus on doing exercise, I would make the time to actually do it.
Yes. We make excuses because we don't want to do, we don't want to put the effort into doing something. And so saying that I'm not motivated just becomes wrapped up as part of that judgment statement that we feel about not doing the things that we want to do, right?
But if you go back a step, like if you think about the basic stuff, like what I was talking about, like taking a shower, you know, taking care of yourself, cleaning your space, things like that. I don't necessarily think it's fear of, you know, being vulnerable or stuff, but it's also, maybe it's a fear of having to really face whatever you're dealing with. So this idea of having to confront it.
When that is true, right, around when you stop caring.
Yeah.
You hear this a lot for people. And I relate to that. When I don't feel motivated to take care of my space, I don't feel motivated to take care of my things because I've gotten stuck in a trap or a hole where you stopped caring.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's felt so long ago that you felt that way that to think about heading to the light and thinking about what it feels like to care about showering or caring about your job. It becomes far away.
Yeah.
And we hear that a lot, actually, right? In mental health specifically, with all mental illnesses, that feeling of apathy, where motivation and apathy crash together. I feel like I just got an email from a gentleman who said, I just don't know what to do because I stopped
caring.
I just stopped caring. I don't know how to care anymore about what I should be doing in my life. And it's causing you distress. But to think about starting to care anymore, to think about starting to have motivation again, feels foreign.
I wonder, too, if there is a connection to this idea of just feeling, you know, you don't care, but it's this feeling of being disconnected, completely disconnected from the things that you find value in. And you have to really do the work to understand why you've gotten to that place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I go back to taking a shower because that's something that in many times when we see and we're talking about mental illness and you're kind of struggling, one of the first things that people will say is get up and take a shower. See how you feel after, you know, because I don't know, maybe it's something with the water running over your body. I have no idea. You know, it's this idea of just trying to cleanse whatever's happening to move to the next space to see if you have an inkling of motivation to do something that will help you.
Yeah.
So there's this aspect of being able to recognize that you're getting into this place of complete discontent.
Disconnection.
Disconnection. And is it lack of motivation?
All of those terms go towards the same set of experiences. Mm-hmm. We all call them something different. But where does it come from? From a mental health perspective, why do we struggle with this so much?
I mean, you kind of talked about it. Fear is one thing, but then there's this other place of the expectations that we put on ourselves. I always go back to that. Like we talked about it in one of the other episodes, this expectation that we have. And sometimes when you're in this space where, like, let's say you're, you know, you're a young working adult and you see the people around you and it looks like they're thriving and they have all their crap together. And you look at yourself, you're like, I'm none of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So then you start comparing yourself with others and you think you're lacking.
Mm-hmm.
So then it gets to this place of saying, why am I even trying? Because I'm not getting anywhere. But that also is tied to this idea, like growth doesn't happen in a day.
Yeah.
Change whether it's you wanting to lose weight, you want to get healthier habits, whatever.
Yeah.
And it takes time and work.
Is there an element of feeling the need for a reason? If I'm not taking care of myself and I have to battle what depression and anxiety and psychosis, the apathy that's made by the brain, because this is all brain changes, right? So I have to fight against that. The pressure is on people with mental illness to always focus on the reason that we're going to fight this, because you are. You're battling your brain telling you that you shouldn't care about yourself. So I find it's especially hard when there are times in our lives where we feel also very lonely or we've disconnected from relationships. And so because so many of the times where I've gotten better, it was because I realized there was something I wanted on the other end that made it so that I wanted to be healthier, or I wanted to be better, or I know I needed to get a job. I got to a point where I was like, I can't not work. And this is part of what there are some like motivational interviewing he talks about. You have to have a desire. You have to have ability, reasons, needs, right? Think about those things. Why do I want it? Why do I want to shower?
But there's this other aspect, like when you're consistently like working through all this crap all the time, if you're dealing with depression, anxiety, whatever you want to label, and you're doing the work, that's so freaking tiresome.
It is tiresome.
And you're just like, dude, I don't want to have to think about it today. You know?
Well, that's what sucks about when we decide to start getting a little bit motivated. Yeah. People get very excited that we've made a little bit of change. And then if we want to take a break one day, the reaction that our families have or partners or whatever, that we're taking a day off, is like, oh my gosh, you're going to go back to zero, you know, and you can't. You getting motivated and getting on that pathway to change is a process. And when they freak out, you just remind them, it is okay for me to take a day off. It does not mean I'm starting at zero.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to get back up again. And actually, that's true. If you're not motivated to go date and you decide to go date, when you take us, if things go horribly wrong, it took a long time for a lot of us to realize that doesn't signify a failure. You take those experiences, you learn from them. You're still a warrior. You keep dating. You will find that person. You will find the right job. You will get to a place where it will get easier, even though it feels so far away. I think that's especially scary with a job, because it takes a long time to find a job.
Yeah.
And there are so many rejection periods with jobs that are so hard, because it takes like 20 applications to maybe get one interview. And it's really hard to get people to,
because you're putting yourself out there.
You put yourself out there. Yeah.
So when you feel a lack of motivation, what do you do to get past it?
So for me, when I don't feel motivated, I know a big part of it in talking myself out of it is I make the thing too big, right? So I have to break it down.
Okay.
I have to. So with the job, I just have to say, you know what? I'm not going to say that I'm going to get a job in 6 months. All I'm going to get to is review my resume. I am going to look on this website X number of times for jobs. Establish mini goals. And then I have to be accountable. So I am not really good at doing things for myself. But if I have somebody who loves me, then I have to make them, I call that my accountability buddy. I really need that. When I'm in my bad spots, I need accountability buddies to say, I am going to be accountable to you. So it's been the most successful when I'm able to find a friend who's also struggling with the same goal, because I'll show up for them.
Okay.
Like I'll go walking with you, which will help me walk too. And then once we do that, then it's the next one and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, you know, we're exercising consistently. But I couldn't say that I ever was able to get started without a friend.
So those were like two big things. A peer relationship is huge.
For me, yeah. I had to. There was no way to do it alone.
I think you touch on something that's very important though, in this idea of setting mini goals. For you, they may be tiny, but in the long run, they add up.
Yeah.
Because I think that's for many people, that's where you have to start to be able to show yourself that you've done something, you've accomplished something. So like if you're struggling, sometimes what I find is, okay, you know, I've always struggled with my weight. So for me, it's going back to, okay, maybe you had a really crappy day yesterday based on what you ate, mm-hmm. right? So then today I'm going to make better choices, right? And what does that mean? Instead of eating a cupcake, I'm going to eat an apple. So it's one thing I can say, okay, well, forget the freaking cupcake. Mm-hmm. I ate the apple today. And then those small things that I'm doing show that I am putting myself first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my needs, I'm actually able to do something to help meet that. But I think there's another component too when you start thinking about like broader kind of issues where, you know, maybe you are in a relationship, maybe you are, you know, in a family unit, you have a husband, you have children and things like that. You become responsible for so many other people
mm-hmm.
that it's also important to within that space and within the constraints of what it is that you are living, you say to yourself, okay, if I'm not able to cook today, I'll cook on Sunday for 3 days, you know, and set aside that time.
Mm-hmm.
But all those things are related to creating these mini goals.
Yeah,
that you can check off and say, I've put some time to this.
Mind tricks and mini goals.
God, yeah. Mind tricks, dude. Yeah.
Mind tricks were also good for us for stress eating, and they all go together. Yeah. There are lots of mind tricks. And part of the mind tricks too, and this isn't a mind trick, but how did you deal with dealing with the way that your brain doesn't want to prioritize your own self-care? Like, right? Was that part of it? Because I think not feeling motivated was also not about choosing self-care or my own self-worth and needing to get out of that. Those thoughts, they just weigh us down. Like, right?
Yeah.
And I realized that the connection between my brain and my body was that I spent so much time repeating negative thoughts and feeling and repeating negative voices and words that it brought my energy down and it made me feel less motivated so globally that I had to stop doing that. I had to stop beating myself up in the other way, which was like beating myself up for my negative thoughts.
So one of the things that I've learned, like when you start thinking about the negative thoughts and something that, you know, it's just somebody told me this a long time ago. It's like, it's okay for you to feel like crap.
Yeah.
It's completely okay. The difference is if you're going to kind of like sit in that.
Wallow in it. You know? Yeah.
Completely. So then they told me, you can feel like crap. Give yourself 10 minutes, half an hour,
yeah,
whatever. Set a time limit. And then do whatever you need to get that out, right? Whether it's, we talked about in one of the episodes about throwing axes. But, you know, is that you writing down your negative thoughts and then like crumpling them up and throw them in the trash and saying, that's it, I'm moving on?
You have to find your thing that you get into some kind of activity, either physical or mental, to stop yourself from having the thoughts. So yeah, I think for people, the postcards, the writing it down, journaling it, taking it from your head, putting it somewhere so you can put it somewhere else. Those are all tricks people have used. It's funny because those are go-tos for me in the past. I will say my last one that I did was I had to visualize because I couldn't write anymore. I don't know why. Something happened with me where I couldn't write. Yeah. But I did. Now that I look back just in a month or so, I remember just talking to myself a lot, like out loud, and be like, stop. Almost like, stop, freaking stop. And then I had to visualize that I was like fighting, and probably because we're doing this podcast talking about fighting in the open, like I'm fighting myself. I have to fight this illness. Something about that visualization helped me to take the depression as a person mm-hmm. and just make it into something that I was going to fight it, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So that it wasn't me, it was outside of me. And then I had something I could.
Yeah. You need something tangible.
Battle.
Mm-hmm.
And make it that, so that, and it was probably like from a mind trick perspective, just actually going from thinking every day life sucks, I'm so tired, what's the point of living, this world is awful and everybody should die, to just replacing those thoughts with, I'm not going to think those stupid ass things. Stop it, Teresa.
Yeah, like that self-talk that you have, I do that. I do that a lot, yeah. Where I'm literally saying, America, stop.
Yeah.
And out loud, because it helps me to hear myself. And it's funny because it's not like I am two people, right? But it's really that visualization of, hey, dude, like, react to what's happening right now, because your brain is not functioning for your wellness.
Yeah.
You know, and snapping you out of it.
Yeah.
The
depressed voice, as we call it, or yeah. The anxious voice, or yeah. The psychotic voice. It does help to personify that illness as something else so you can remove it from yourself. But I think in the end, what we're saying is that getting motivated or trying to do the things that you want to do is a mixture of taking some kind of action, some way, and dealing with the thoughts, the way we get in our own way.
Yeah. Figuring out why you're getting in your own way and helping to navigate that space.
Do groups work? This is why Weight Watchers works. This is why not just gym memberships, but finding a collective. So if it isn't just one accountability buddy, a lot of people also find huge benefit in finding a collective.
Right? Yeah, right? Like online and everything. Yeah, yeah.
I think that's something too. And there are so many spaces where people are struggling with the same thing you are. So do the forums that we have on Inspire, they have spaces where people can go to find groups?
Yeah. So if you go to like inspire.com and search Mental Health America, we do have a community where people are dealing with all things kind of mental health related. And you can find other people that are dealing with these things. And what's interesting about the community that's on Inspire, it's people like they are kind of journaling, but while they're journaling, people can read their stuff. So one of our biggest groups in that space is something that was started years ago, where it's like the 3 a.m. club or something like that, where somebody's up at 3 in the morning, you know, and just writing stuff. And a lot of people are in that space.
I love that.
You know, you're on your own and you're on your own with your thoughts. And it just creates an opportunity for you to connect with people. But I think that's huge. So we're talking about, you know, really finding a way, a tangible way to help you move past your lack of motivation. So that's creating mini goals and, you know, moving away from having these negative thoughts and getting them out. So whether that's writing, putting them in a box, drawing, yeah, having somebody that can.
And then do it with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Help you, have them alongside you on your journey. I think that's key.
Yeah. Those are good three strong, solid things.
Teresa's on my journey.
I'm on your journey.
Yeah, you're on my journey.
We have started this journey together.
Yeah, we have.
What have we done?
We've done a lot. We've done a lot.
Okay.
We can visualize.
All right, y'all.
Okay, guys. Keep fighting in the open.
Fighting in the open.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye, guys.